All right.
So we saw the Gemara asks, Al-Khatra, the Gemara, Ha'isha Nikdeis, Ma'ishna Ha'cha, the Thani Isha Nikdeis, Ma'ishna Ha'cha, the Thani Ish V'kadish. How come in the first parak it's a Lashon of Kenyan, and in the second parak it's a Lashon of Kiddushin? She's like, by the Mistay Kasef, the Kasef, you know, the Gemara Kichi, Mistay the first thing they're mentioning is Ha'isha Nikdeis, Shalosh Drachim, V'kasef. And Kasef was learned from Stay Ephron, because if Ha'cha Yechish Isha V'kitzim, Ha'cha, Nasati Kasef, Zod Kachim, Mani, the Kicha Ekri Kenyan. And that kicha of Stay Ephron is called a Kenyan. The Chsev Asada Shekhan Abraham, I Nami Sadis Bekesef, Yechnu, Tani Isha Nikne. So because of the connection to Kesef, that kicha of Kesef, and the kicha of Kesef is called Kenyan, we say a Lashon of Niknes. Vinisne Hasam Ha'ish Kone. So, okay, if Niknes has a Makar in the Chumash, so why does the second parable also say Ha'ish Kone? Again, we're not yet up to the difference between Ha'ish and Ha'isha. The answer is Me'ekar Tani Lisha Daraisa, so Tani Lisha Darabanan. First the Lisha Daraisa, then the Lisha Darabanan. Umay Lisha Darabanan. Meaning one Lashon. Again, it's not Mamish the Lisha Daraisa. The Mamish Lisha Daraisa is Kicha. And Tosos already deals with why the Mishnah doesn't say Kicha. But it's a Lashon that is comes out indirectly of the Torah. And in the end, they wanted to also thought it was important to use this other Lashon that the Rabbanan use in most of the time. Umay Lashon Rabbanan Hared that Mikudeshes. And what's the Lashon Rabbanan? Why did the Rabbanan pick this Lashon of Kiddushin? The Aser La Akuli Alma Ke Hekdish. Okay, the Lashon Mikudeshes emphasizes the Isser, just like Hekdish is not just something that's good for Hashem. But the main nafgamina of Hekdish that is ushering everyone else is a very strict Isser. Likewise, Kiddushin is not just that she has a relationship with her husband, it's that then there a very serious Isser falls on everyone else. Okay, so this, obviously, this Gemara. You should know, by the way, that this whole Gemara from the middle of Beis Amin Aleph to the middle of Gimel Amin Aleph, with all the diukim and the lashon, and the diukim and the lashon will get much more subtle as we go on. So the Ramban and the Ritva have Mesura, that it's not from the Amoraim, it was added into the Gemara later in the days of the Gaonim, perhaps. Or the Samaraim, that this is a post-Talmudic, it's not authentic from the Amoraim, that the Amoraim really didn't make all these diukim, they just accepted the Lashonos as they were. I have no way of knowing if that Masorah is correct or not. But I think regardless of exactly who wrote this part of the Gemara, the Ha'ara here is just an objective, obvious fact that everyone has to agree, which is the Lashon of the Torah is much more Kenyan-like. There's a comparison, Ki Yikach, as through Kesef, is talking about Kenyan Stei Ephraim, which is just classic Kenyanim. The Lashon of the Chachamim, most of the places we talk about Kiddushin, which is much reminiscent, much more of the theme of Isra Kuli Alma Kehekdish. This, of course, brings up to us a certain tension, which is on the one hand, Kenyan, we have a model called Kenyan, right? Kenyan, Dini Mamana, Seisha Nikdeis. As a matter of fact, we go later on in our parak, we find Eben Ivri's Nikdeh, Eben Kanani is Nikdeh, Behemagasa's Nikdeh, and Behemadaka's Nikdeh, and Karka's Nikdeh, and everything is, we know what Kenyanim means. Kenyanim means ownership. On the other hand, and that's one model of Kiddushin, the man takes a wife. Right, and there's what kind of ownership we're talking about, we'll have to figure out. Clearly, he doesn't own her guf. The Gemara says in a few places that he doesn't own her guf, but there's some sort of ownership. On the other hand, the main nafkamina of kiddushin seems to be the iser. After all, it's not just ownership for this simple reason, as the Nitziv points out. Right, if I own something, I can share it with people. Right? That's perfectly okay. I mean, not only is it not an aveir, it's nafka nice to share. It's a big mitzvah to be a bal chesed, right? Everything I own I can share with people. I mean, even avadim. I can share my avid with people. That's perfectly fine. However, clearly, we're not just talking about ownership here, because the husband has no right. The husband and wife, even if they both agree, even if the whole world agrees, even the Supreme Court agrees, they have no right to share anything. That's a chi of mis karis and misas bezdin of eishes ish. There's this iser that's chal, right? Also a kuliyama kehekdish. Whether anyone likes it or not, it has nothing to do with what people want and with their rights. It's just an objective iser. Which then brings up the question of which of these lashonos to take as perhaps more davka or lav davka. Is kiddushin really, do we look at it as a kinyan, which also maybe has an afkamina of iser being chal? Really, you're doing a kinyan. When you do this kinyan, the Torah says a certain iser is chal, and the lishon d'oraisa is more davka. Or no, maybe the lishon d'rabbanan is davka. After all, why would the rabbanan make a new lashon? The Rabbanim make a new Lashon because they understand the lumdus of what Hashem meant here, and they understand that not every Lashon found in the Torah goes to the heart and core of what's going on here. Sometimes it's more technical detail, and they understood that what's really going on here is an Isser. The process through which you do the Isser resembles Kinyan in some ways, but really what's going on is the Isser. So that brings up the Chakira here that we want to deal with, which is, does the husband buy his wife? Or does the husband just make a certain status of ish? This relationship creates a certain iser, but he doesn't actually own anything. And I think even before we go to all of Shas, this could be meduyik in a question of Tosos and Amal Aleph. The third class Tosos and Amal Aleph said, "Mishkon to go by the misne kesef." The Gemara later on will ask. You'll see this later on if you haven't. Maybe you already have happened to see it. Why did it say the word derech and not Dovar? The answer is, because Derech is used for Bia in many places. And even we say Derech Eretz in Shas, although that they quote other psukim from Tanakh. And the Gemara says, okay, well, just because a word is used for one of the three modalities, you shouldn't use a word in the Mishnah if it only applies to one of the three. One is as a minority of three. Right? So Tosa says, hold on a second, why don't I ask the same question here? In Hanan, we find that the phrase Kinyan, Niknes, is connected to Kesef. But it's not connected to Shtar and Bia, so why would we use a phrase nicknase that's only connected to one of the three? That's a minority. We should go by the majority. So the third class host asks people around some Mishum the Kabbalah Misni Kesef. Says Vahakal Shaykh Lamefurkutana Tarti Atu Chada. And here we don't have to ask why learn the other two unto one. Like if it's only applicable to one, why apply to the other two? It doesn't make any sense. To the part of the common like this later. Why not? Meaning, why is it not a problem here that we're using a lashon for all three that only applies to one? Tosa has two answers, fascinatingly. First answer is, Lashon Kinyan Shaykh Nami Bishtarubiya. Really, Shtarubiya are also called Kinyan. They're all three of them are called Kinyan. Meaning, really, of course Kiddushin is a Kinyan. Of course all three types of Kiddushin are Kinyan. Be'etzim Kiddushin is a Kinyan. Kesef, Shtar, Envy, it's all Kinyan. As a matter of fact, we never had a problem with the Lashon Kinyan in the first place. It was never strange to call it a Kinyan. It's natural that all of Kiddushin is a Kinyan. Our only question was, why hear Kinyan in their Kiddushin? I mean, there's nothing bad about Kinyan. Nothing benevolent about Kenyan. We just wondered why the first parak picked Kenyan, the second parak picked Kiddushin. V'acha Dhani Lashon Kenyan. Right? So that's what we asked. According to this first day of Tosfos, it sounds like fundamentally Kiddushin is a Kenyan. Ben Kesef, Ben Shtar, Ben. What does it mean, Ben Kesef, Ben Shtar, Ben Bia? It's not that Kesef is a Kenyan, or Shtar is a Kenyan, or Bia is a Kenyan. Kiddushin is a Kenyan. And it applies to all three of them. And it's not like we're sticking it in through Kesef. We're not justifying the Lashon of Kinyan. The Lashon of Kinyan is inherently justified. It is a Kinyan. The only thing we're answering is why the first parak picked one word and the second parak picked another word. And the answer is because the first parak said Kesef, so it picked one word. But Kinyan is a natural description of Kiddushin. First answer of Tosos. Second answer of Tosos. Inami. Bishar Nami Ashkan Lashon Kinyan. Dichseva Ekach Sefer Amakne. Really, Kiddushin's not called a Kinyan. Really, Kinyan doesn't belong in Kiddushin. Just Kinyan sneaks in through Kesef. Ah, but that's only one third. The answer is, just like Kinyan sneaks in through Kesef, Kinyan can also sneak in through Shtar. Because Shtar is also called a Kinyan, Sefer HaMakdeh. According to the second day of Tosfos, Kinyan sneaks into Kesef, sneaks into Shtar. B is not called a Kinyan. Only two of the three are called a Kinyan. What does that mean? what that means is that if only two of the three are called a Kenyan, okay, that technically justifies using the word Kenyan, because it's connected to two out of the three. But what it's saying is that it's not that the Mahus of Kiddushin is a Kenyan. The Kiddushin, the whole idea of Kiddushin is not a Kenyan. There are three modalities. Two of them happen to be connected to the word Kenyan, and one of them happens to not be connected to the word Kenyan. But what that means is that, fundamentally, it's not a Kenyan. There are three ways to do it. If you want, you could use a way of doing it that happens to be similar to a Kenyan, or you could use a way to do it that's not similar to a Kenyan. But that means, essentially, Kiddush is not a Kenyan. I think if you've been dyking this Tosfos, you really see, and if you assume, by contrast, the Inami to what came before him is saying, they didn't have a problem with Lashon Kiddushin. The question is just, why did it say, with Lashon Kenyan, why does it pick one word in the first parak, one word in the second parak? By implication, perhaps, you would say in the second answer, which is going back to before the first answer, they did have a problem with Lashon of Kenyan. They talk in a problem. What's Lashon of Kenyan doing here? The answer is, Lashon of Kenyan doing here, because the Kesef part is Kenyan-like. So, but that's only one of three. Is there no Shtar is also Kenyan-like? Because after all, Kesef we also use for buying real estate. Shtar we use for buying real estate. Kenyan is stuck in here because two of the three ways are similar to Kenyan, but not because essentially it belongs. It's just because technically the way we do it reminds us and has some similarity to a Kenyan. So I think already in these two deos, if you ask, what is the essence of Kiddushin, is it fundamentally a Kenyan with also an Isser? Meaning, don't get me wrong. The one thing which I don't want to be quoted in here is saying that it's just a Kenyan with no Isser. That's obviously ridiculous. If it's just a Kenyan with no Isser, then that just means licentiousness. So obviously, that's not in keeping with the Torah. But if you were to ask, essentially, what's going on here, you could say a Kenyan, which also leads to an Isser. Okay, I'll modify that in a bit. Or, no, it's really just an Isser, but some of the ways of doing it are borrowed from Kinyanim, right? Two of the three ways of doing it are borrowed from Kinyanim, one more directly borrowed from Kinyanim, one more indirectly reminiscent of Kinyanim. You know what? One of them, Mamish, comes from Kinyanim, the other one is also somehow reminiscent of Kinyanim. That's like one and a half out of three, and that's good enough to call the Lashon just an Isser, and the Lashon of Kenyan is justified by only some of the three ways. Right, but not by the essence of what's going on here.
But I mean, this is just the Avmi later on. The Gemara defines Kicha as Kenyan. So in that case, Kicha is clearly by Dia also, so is that, then it is all three.
The Gemara defines Kicha as Kenyan where? What do you mean later on?
Later.
Here, right? The Gemara says, because Kicha Ikri Kenyan, right?
Yeah.
But with that, what I'm claiming is that Tosfos has two ways to be Mefaris, that line in the Gemara. Kicha Ikri Kenyan means the idea of a man taking a wife is called Kenyan. That's the first answer. A man taking a wife is Kenyan. And that was so obvious, it never even had a hobby otherwise. But Tosfos' second answer is understanding it differently, and his question is understanding it differently. The Kicha of the Drasha of Kicha means that everyone is called Kenyan. Not that Kicha in general is called Kenyan. The specific Drasha of Kicha for Stay Efron is called Kenyan. And that's why he says it's only Kesef that's called Kenyan, not the rest. And then he sticks in a little bit Shtar also. And I think that that's the two ways of reading the Gemara. One way of reading it is Kicha Ikri Kenyan. A man takes a wife. What does it mean a man takes a wife? A man acquires a wife. The other way of reading it is no. Gamar Kicha Kicha Mistay Efron. V'kicha ikri Kenyan. And that kind of kicha that we learned from Stay Efron is called a Kenyan. Not general kicha is called a Kenyan. Only the type of kicha from Stay Efron is called a Kenyan. So I think that's the two ways. Now, this could have, I mean, this is a famous machlokas. Maybe we'll start with some of the Rishonim. I think one of the places you find this best in the Rishonim is the beginning of Gittin. Let me just remind you what it says in the beginning of Maseches Gittin. It says, the main part of the beginning of Maseches Gittin is that if someone brings the wife a get from Medina Sayam, from overseas, where we have no way of notarizing the signatures because it's from far away, the Shliach has say, b'fanei nechtam, I saw it signed and notarized the signatures. It's called Kiyum Shtaris. But if, well, I'm not getting to Rabban Rava there, just the simple shot. If, however, you bring a get in Eretz Yisrael, then I bring a woman. I say, here, I have a get from your husband, from Eretz Yisrael. Then I don't have to notarize the signatures. Why don't I have to notarize the signatures? Then we cannot know if the signature is authentic or not. Why not? Because she'll be married. And if someone, this what's called error, someone once casts a spurgeon and says it's a forged get, so it's from Eretz Yisrael. It's not so hard. She'll send shluchim. They'll go a few days' journey, find those edim, the other village in Eretz Yisrael, and notarize the signatures. Okay. Tosfos asks the obvious question. Tosfos says, hold on a second. It doesn't make any sense. Just think of the parallel in Dini Mamonos. Here, the woman's getting a get to take herself away from her husband. And in Eretz Yisrael, we're accepting it without notarization. Meaning, until you complain, we'll accept this get and take away your wife. What about the parallel in Dini Mamonos? If I brought a shtar, not a get isha. If I brought a shtar that you sold your house, I bring a shtar, you sold me your house. So we're going to, until someone complains, we're going to accept the shtar and give me your house, even though we don't know if it's an authentic shtar or a forged shtar? That's very difficult. What about the rule of Varaya? Because you could say that's countered by the rule of Rish Lakh, at the beginning of getting that Edom HaChasum al shtar, we should not reduce him Vezin Dami, that Midoraisa, we assume all signatures are authentic. But there's a rental of Taninan. Right? If a guy's not here to defend himself, then we make kindness to defend him. If the guy was here, he would decide. Maybe he'd admit to the shtar, or maybe the claim was forged. So if the guy's not here, we have to defend him by claiming it was forged. So that's a question of taninan. Right? Let's just put this on the board. The question is, what about, you know, someone who has a shtar, shelo b'fanav, right? Hotsas shtar shelo b'fanav. We bring a shtar, shelo b'fanav. Do we say, well, we accept the shtar until you complain? Of course, you're someplace else, you're not going to make it 2 years later, it'll be too late to complain. Or do we say, no, taninan, we defend you by saying that maybe it's forged and requiring the guy to notarize the signatures, to authenticate the signatures. So Tosfos says, what does Tosfos say? So here's the problem. The problem is that when it comes to get isha, we seem to just accept it. However, when it comes to a shtar of mamonos, we would think we should challenge it. Right? That would be logical. So there are three answers in the Rishonim. Tosfos on the daf. Tosfos happens to be in daf beis. The old Rishonim Sfarad happened to be on daf tes. That's not significant. It's just that the printers of Vilna Shas decided to put both Mishnayos. First two Mishnayos and Daf Beis, you know, when they printed the Shas, not Vilna Shas, but Satsino, family printed the Shas, it was sort of random how many Mishnayos they stuck in one place, and they didn't, like, do every Mishnah in the Gemara on it. Sometimes they put the whole parak at the beginning, like we really like in the first parak of Shavuos or something. So here, they just stuck two Mishnayos and Daf Beis, instead of putting one Mishnah and Daf Beis, and the next Mishnah with one Daf Tes. Okay, so Tosfos says, in Gittin, Tosfos says, Tosfos says in Gittin that really this is because of Taninan. There's a rule of Taninan. We time on someone's behalf. And this Tosfos also says theoretically should be Taninan. Theoretically we should challenge this. But we made special kulas for Agbona. After all, on the one hand, we theoretically challenge poor guy. He's going to lose his wife. He'll show up 3 years later and all of a sudden see that someone pulled a fast one on him and brought a forged get to his wife and then married her and someone stole his wife, poor guy. So we'd want to defend him. On the other end, Shemeguna, Kil Rabbana, and the Rabbana, special kulas they make for Aguna. What if it's a true get? If it's a true shtar moment and the guy doesn't get his moment, okay, he'll live. If it's a true get, the poor girl's going to be in Aguna, and therefore they made an exception. But Mishum Iguna. Akilu Barabanan. So Tosfos in Gittin says theoretically it's the same. However, we have kulas for Aguna, just like Ein Echad, right? If Ein Echad comes and says, I get your field, we won't listen to him. If he comes and says, I can marry your wife, we will. Okay, special kula by Aguna. The Ramban that I put on the Makor, she quotes Tosfos. Tosfos Ksuba sound this way, but the Ramban, all the Rishiyot, Bishen Tosfos, goes even further. He says, not only theoretically the same, they're practically the same. Here, we accept it, and here we also accept it. Unlike what most people think. Right? You would think we don't accept it, how we do accept it. You would think we tiny the guys we have? No. The one tiny we don't make to defend the guy is forgery. We're not suspicious of forgery. If you bring a star, we don't tiny. Right? Unlike what most people think. Right? This is a minority shita in the Rishonim. It's only some versions of Tosos. Okay, but what do Tosos have in common? What Tosos have in common is that they at least fundamentally equate Get Isha with Shtar Malchus. The Ramban and the Ritva there, on the other hand, I put the Ramban on the course sheet, they say there's a fundamental distinction. The Ramban and the Ritva say there's a fundamental distinction. Right? I should have a lesson here someplace. Here we are. First he quotes the Tosos, and then he says, then he brings other rayas, but Elo Devrehem, and it's not true, right? He says, obviously we defend the guy if you're bringing a shtar to take away his money. You're bringing a shtar to take away someone's money, obviously we defend him any means by. He's not here to defend himself. We say, maybe it's forged, and force you to prove to authenticate the signatures. So if we defend the guy against taking away his field, why don't we defend the guy against taking away his wife? After all, the poor guy, you're taking away his wife. No, she'ein isha zuma mono shel baal el rishos atzmi li nase. The answer is because he owns his land. He owns his field. If you want to take it away, we defend him. But he doesn't own his wife. It's her own. She has her own permission to get married. He doesn't own that she shouldn't marry someone else. No, she owns herself to marry whoever she wants. Va'ana loman inala. We just don't prevent her. I mean, if he doesn't complain, why should he complain? Right? So what does he say? That's his first answer. He says that he doesn't own anything. If he doesn't own anything, why do we have to defend him? You're right, she's not allowed to marry someone else without a get. But that's not because he owns her. That's a rule of the Torah. That's an Isra in the Torah. But it's her business. She has the right to marry whoever she wants. She just has to make sure to follow the Isra of the Torah. Okay? So if she gets a get and she's satisfied that it's okay, then what is it the husband's business? I mean, obviously, practically affects the husband, but fundamentally, what's he saying here? He owns something which is being taken away from him. If he owns something which is being taken away from him, then we have to defend him. After all, how can we take away the poor guy's money without trying to put up a defense on his behalf if he's not here? However, in this case, he doesn't own anything. In this case, he doesn't own anything. He doesn't own the right to her marriage. She can marry whoever she wants. In a Hanami, we wouldn't let her marry whoever she wants without a get. We wouldn't let her do an Isser. But the reason why we wouldn't let her marry someone else is not because we're defending his property rights. It's because she can't violate the Torah. Same reason we wouldn't let her open her store on Shabbos. Same reason we wouldn't let her sleep with her father. Because, okay, you can't do the same reason we wouldn't let her Mefatim and Sacha, Shem Mishnah. Right? Because you can't go against the Torah. But that's her business. That's her answer. If she's satisfied, we don't have to defend someone else. This seems to be... Then he brings another answer also. He brings another technical answer. Right? That's his other technical answer.
There's also Rashi
now. Who says
Rashi,
what?
Rashi holds that only the Baal can be
the Arab. Right, okay, and Hanami. But I don't want to get into that. Now the Ramban says Ve'od. Okay, the Ve'od is a technical answer. It's not so exciting. Is that here... There's no additional evidence on the side of the buyer. While over here, we have additional evidence that
the get is valid, or let's say a little better, over here we have no additional evidence that the shtar is valid. While in the case of an isha, we have additional evidence the get is valid. What's the additional evidence? It's a rule called mitoch chumer shechmar tole b'sofa. If a woman gets remarried with the get and the get's not valid, she gets tremendous chumras and penalties on her. Therefore, this rule called isha daiko mitzva, we're sure the woman would double check and triple check the get before she relied on it. As opposed to mamonos, what if I take your money with an improper shtar? Or if it's worse, I give it back. So, I'm not going to double check and triple check. Worst comes to worst, I'll be back where I started. A woman who remarries with an improper get, the Mishnah says in Bamos and get in other places, that she has like 13 penalties on her, and they're really, really harsh. Therefore, she would double check and triple check. Therefore, we just have additional evidence that it's valid. Okay, this is a technical point. I'm not getting into this, but the fundamental difference here is that the Ramban says his fundamental shita is that Isha is not like a Kenyan Mamo, right? A Kenyan Mamo, we have to defend the guy's ownership. Here, the guy doesn't have ownership. While Tosfos says, seems to assume that Isha fundamentally, right, equals might be a little, might be going a little far, but is approximately, right, the same as Kenyan Mamos. Just like we have to defend your property interest, we have to defend your interest in your wife. And either we defend them both, except for Aguna, or we don't defend them both. So this is a great nafkamina. The Chor, they seem to be arguing about this Hakira, the question of Taninan, right? Do we defend your property interest? Here we would put Tosfos, who equate Isha with Kinyan Mamon. Whatever we would do to protect your mama, we would do to protect your interest in your wife. As opposed to the Ramban and the Ritva, who say, no, that not mamono shall bow. We don't have to protect the husband here, even though emotionally he is clearly going to be hurt. And even practically, you know, he might be hurt if someone took away his wife when he didn't really write her a true get, someone forged again and took away his wife, but he doesn't own something, and therefore he's not a bailim, he's not a baldavar, and therefore we don't have to tie on his behalf. This actually works out nicely, l'shitase perhaps, for a phrase in Tosos, in the beginning of Ksubos, and even stronger than Tosos Rush, says the Gemara in the beginning of Ksubos. Again, it's 2 days in Tosos, I admit. But the Gemara says at the beginning of Ksubos that they want to know whose bad luck is it, or bad mazel technically, if the woman gets sick and can't go through with the nisuin. Why do we care? Because after erusin you have 12 months, then you have to get ready for nisuin. And if the husband refuses to go ahead with the nisuin, then he has to pay. He has to support her. And if the wife refuses to go ahead with the nisuin, the husband doesn't have to support her. She has to support herself, right? Whoever's fault it is, that's who has to support, to pay the support. So what if she gets sick? Whose fault is that? So the Gemara there says it could be that it's her fault. After all, she's the one who's sick. Or maybe she can say to him, "Nistachva sadehu, no, your field got flooded away." Meaning, it's your bad luck. Whose bad luck is it? I mean, fault in physical Newtonian physics. It's no one's fault, right? Someone got sick. The bacteria came, whatever. I mean, whose mazel is it? Meaning, who's responsible for the well-being of the wife? Is it her or is it him? So the Gemara says, this common sense, of course, is her. Meaning, she's sick, it's her body. It says, no. Maybe it's his field that was flooded. Why would it be his field that was flooded? Tosus points out, we don't say that about everything else. If other things happened to her. So Tosus basically says two opinions. Why, like, it's his fault if she gets sick, either because she got sick in a way that they couldn't get married and live together and have kids, and since he's the one who's mitzvah for Ravo, so therefore it's his responsibility to be healthy enough to engage in tashmish and have kids, and that's not her responsibility. Okay, that's a technical point. Or he says, Ha'ishi sada shala ba'al vina ba'al sada shala. She's his field, he's not her field. Right? Meaning, she belongs to him, he doesn't belong to her, Of course, if my field got flooded, it's my mazel, not the field's mazel. Meaning, she belongs to him, he doesn't belong to her. Therefore, everything's his achrayis.
The Tosfos Rosh there in Kedushin says it even more strongly. Right? He also has two opinions, but in this opinion, I think that's also here someplace, yes. He says, Mishum the Isha Kinyan Kaspo Shela Ish, from Abdo Shor Vahamoro Vetluya Bamasel.
This is so strong that he can't even mean it literally, but he says, the woman is Kinyan Kaspo Shel Ish, like his Shor and Chamor and Eved, right? And therefore, she depends on his mazel, right? It's his bad luck or his bad stars, technically. So, why is she now, again, why is she totally on his stars and not her own stars? Ah, because she belongs to him. The Tosfos Rosh even goes so far as to say, though, what's nice about this formulation is that he says, how do we know she belongs to him? He used the phrase Kenyan, right? Where does Kenyan come from? Kenyan Kaspo. Kenyan Kaspo, I know it's based on a Gemara later on, but it originates in our Gemara, right? Kenyan, Kicha, Kicha, Viste, Afro, Ashman, Kicha, Levi, and Kenyan. He takes this idea of Kenyan and says, I take this Kenyan very seriously. Kenyan means she is part of his property. Again, it's a very strong formulation, but if you're asking, again, mazel is always a tricky nafkamina. Like, does she go by her own mazel or by his mazel, right? Whose horoscope determines whether or not she'll get sick, hers or his? It's a kind of nafkamina in things that we don't fully understand, but at least if we see how the Rishonim approach it, there's one answer in Tosfos that says she depends on his stars because she's his sadeh. And the Tosfos Rosh goes further, why is she his sadeh? Because of Kenyan Kaspo, because of the idea of Kenyan and Kedushin, you say Isha Niknes. So he clearly, and this works well with Shitase, right? They, in all the yeshivas, they like to point out nowadays that it's Tosos works well with Shitase in Gittin and Ksubos, that Tosos in Gittin is the one who equated the man's rights and his wife to the man's rights and his property. And Tosos in Ksubos is the one who says that Lenyan Mazel, she's considered his property and she's under his Mazel, and that works well. So here we have the, again, it's one answer, right? One answer in Tosfos, and especially in the Tosfos Rosh in Ksubas, that Isha Sadeh Shelo is Tosfos, and Kenyan Kaspo Ke'avdo Shoro Vachamoro, which again can't really be true because it's clear all over Shas that he doesn't own her guf totally the way he owns Avdo Shoro Vachamoro. Obviously, the Tosfos Rosh using the exaggerated Lashon. But even as an exaggerated lusher, it clearly means something. And he means that there's really a Kenyan going on here. It's not just that she's usher because of Ishus Ish. No, well, how would that make her under his mazel? It's that he really owns her. Again, he doesn't literally mean lock, stock, and barrel like he makes it sound, but clearly by this exaggerated lusher, he means he owns her to some degree. This in the Achronim comes up in the most obvious nafkamina. Right, this is a beautiful machlokes in the Pnei Yoshua and the Avnei Miluim in terms of, well, why can't I be Mekadesh your wife? Why can't I be Mekadesh your wife? Right? Again, we're not asking why someone can't sleep with your wife. That's obvious. That's one of the arayas in the Torah. The question is, why can't I do Kiddushin to your wife? So, what would be the answer? Why can't I do Kiddushin to your wife? So here, right, Tfisas Kiddushin Be'eshes Ish. Meaning, Tfisas Kiddushin Be'eshes Ish. Clearly, Kiddushin is not Toface Be'eshes Ish. Everyone knows, if I'm a Kaddish, your wife, it doesn't work. But why not? If you looked at a Mitzad Kinyan, you would say, why doesn't Tfisas Kiddushin work Be'eshes Ish? Why can't I be a Kaddish, your wife? Why can't I be Kona, your wife? Because she belongs to you already. Of course I can't be Kona something that belongs to someone else. Right? So then the answer would be, obviously, because she belongs to someone else. But if you looked at not as a Kenyan, no, it's not really Kenyan. I understand we use the word Kenyan. But we only use the word Kenyan because we learned Kesef from something called Kenyan. That technically hints at one of the modalities, and you know what? It's a little similar to the second modality as well. But it's not really a Kenyan. If it's not really a Kenyan, then why can't I mean Kaddish your wife? Because of the Esser. The same reason I can't be Kaddish my sister. Nothing with any bias.
Why can't I be kaddish my sister just because they're really chomer iser? When they're really chomer iser, that's chayiv kares, then kiddushin's not tofsim, right? So that's also because of the iser, meaning that ain kiddushin tofsin bechayve krisos. Now, what's the nafkamina? Who cares? Lamaisa, I can't be mekadesh your wife, right? If I go to your wife and I give her a ring and say, alright, unconditionally to Basuka, that's most of Yisrael, and she accepts it, and we both mean it 1,000,000%, and we have great edim, it still is utterly null and void and doesn't work. Right? So what's the difference why? The difference why is this interesting case that the Yeshua and Abnei Mulum argued about. What if you would have a case of a Ashes Ish where the Isser wasn't so chummer? How do you have the Ishes Ish for the Isser isn't so chummer? You have to have a really weird case called Shifcha Harufa. Okay, we know there's a Machlokes Tanam exactly what Shifcha Harufa is, but we normally assume that Shifcha Harufa means Shifcha Kananis, who's half and still a Shifcha and half freed. She had two owners, one owner freed her and one owner didn't. And a guy's Makadisher. If the guy's Makadisher, she is half a Shifcha, which is not available for marriage. The half that is available for marriage is Shayach to Ruvain. And then Shimon comes and sleeps with her, and the Gemara teaches us that Shimon's not Chayev Kares, and he's not Chayev Chatas B'Shogeg, and he's not Chayev Mises Bezdin Be'edim B'Hasra. Rather, he's only Chayev Malkus and Usham because it's a lower level Isser. The...
I mean, I was like, it is an Isser Kares, you just technically don't get it. It's like the guy in Tana de Bechitzkiya.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I hear that's an interesting creative suggestion, but I don't think it's possible. You're not. So now the question is, what if Shimon comes and tries to make Kaddish the Shifcha Harufa? On the one hand, she's half a Shifcha, and the free half belongs to Reuven. So in other words, the whole free half of her belongs to Reuven. On the other hand, she's not such a big Esser, it's not Chayiv Kares. So this is Gufa the Machlokes between the Pnei Yeshua and the Avnei Miluim. Why did they get into this machlokes? Again, not because this is a burning halacha lemaisa issue in their time, but because there's a whole sugya all over Shas, the concept called Isha Shnei Nisim. Yibam doesn't apply to a woman who's married to two men. And all over Shas, they try to figure out, is there any, like, is this really a din d'oraisa? Is there any d'oraisa case of a woman married to two men? They have a lot of trouble. It could be. Simple shot is that this is not really a din d'oraisa, this is just a remez. Mi d'oraisa, you can never have a woman married to two men. The Pnei Yeshua, though, says, the Pnei Yeshua says, well, what about this case? What if Reuven is Mekadosh the Shifcha Harufa? And then Shimon is Mekadosh, or maybe she's married to two men? Says the Pnei Yeshua, no, she's not married to Shimon. Oh, it's not an Isser Chomer. The Pnei Yeshua says, who cares about the Isser Chomer? She's not married to Shimon because she belongs to Reuven. You can't be kona as someone who belongs to someone else. So says the Pnei Yoshua, meaning what's the nafgamina? Nafgamina is a shifcha harufa, is a shifcha, nafgamina shifcha harufa. So says the Pnei Yoshua, whose works very, very well for this kinyan derech, says the Pnei Yoshua, ein kidushin tov simba, Mipnei Hakinyan. I apologize for the small writing. He says, who cares that it's a low-level Isser? Who cares that it's only Chai B'Lavin? Kiddush is not Tofes, she belongs to someone else. How can Kiddush be Tofes if she belongs to someone else? Comes the Avnei Miluim, argues on the Pnei Yoshua, and says, that's not true. He says, Kiddush and Tofsin, but because it's not a... It's not an Isser Kares. Kiddushin Tovsimba. The Avnei Miluim, isn't he concerned about the fact that she belongs to someone else? How can you be kona something that belongs to someone else? Obviously, the Avnei Miluim takes the other side of this Kakira. The Avnei Miluim, we'll see a bunch of Avnei Miluim's Lashitase. He is pretty straight on this Mahalach. He's 90% very consistent in this Mahalach. Says the Avnei Miluim, he says, what are you talking about Kinyan? We're talking about Isser. Kiddushin is about Isser. Asher akuli alma kehekdish. Don't give me the Kenyan stuff. The Kenyan is a technicality. It's asher akuli alma kehekdish. Okay? Asher akuli alma kehekdish. How much? Regular case, asher akuli alma kehekdish with Kari Samisa's Bezdin. This unique case, asher akuli alma kehekdish in Malkus. So when it's asher akuli alma kehekdish with Kari Samisa's Bezdin, no one else can be a Kaddisher because the Isser. But when it's only Malkus, someone else can't be a Kaddisher and you can have an Ashish named Mason. Oh, how can she belong to two people?
She doesn't belong to two people. She was asked by two people. She belongs to herself. I mean, the half that's free belongs to herself. Right? She doesn't belong. She belongs to herself. She's asked by two people. L'chora, she's asked by two people. She can't sleep with either of them. Okay, that's their problem. Not that she can sleep with both of them. Now she can't sleep with either of them. Okay, so that's their problem. So they're stuck and no one can do anything. That's their own foolishness. But she doesn't belong to anyone. So the Pnei Yeshua looks at it as ownership. If I buy something, then you can't buy it. V'zehu. I don't care how big of an issue is. If I buy a quart of milk in the store, you can't buy it anymore. The Amnimah says, no, it's about Isser. If I Asser something, maybe you can also Asser it. That depends if it's an Isser Kares or not. There's an exceedingly clever Chazan Isher that I put in the brackets that I just want to... Yeah?
Some question about the
other
Leah, but he says that Kesef is Kesef Shiva.
Ah, so, okay, so that, let me come back to that. Or maybe not. That's the one, that's why I said 90%. That's the 10%. So when it came to how Kesef works, meaning all the Avnei Miluim is about, let me just review what we did last year and this year. Last year we talked specifically about Kedusha Kesef, how similar is the Kesef of Sunday. And I hope this was clear. I didn't mean to claim that last year we covered all of the Nafkaminas and how that affects our Sunyas. I just meant to say we covered enough for now. When we get to many Gemaras, we'll see that there's a lot more to be said about it, but I want to wait till we get to the Gemaras and the Rambams, etc., especially. Today we're talking about Kedushin in general, not specific to Kesef Shtar Rabia. What's the essential nature of Kedushin in general? What Irv is pointing out is that can bring you a few Avnei Miluim who are consistent. The nature of Kedushin in general is Isser, not Kinyan. However, when it came to understanding the modality of Kinyan Kesef, which we would think that if Kedushin in general is not Kinyan-like, then Kedushin Kesef shouldn't be Kesef Shiva. If Kedushin in general is Kinyan-like, it should be. When it came to specifically the issue of how Kinyan Kesef work, he dafka talked about Shivoi, which makes more sense if you look at his real Kinyanim. I admit that I am bothered a little by how to get all these things to work together. And I admit that I'm not entirely satisfied. I invite everyone to look at all the Avnei Miluim that we will mention and put them together and see what you come up with. But... right, there are three Avnei Miluim on page 4. Right, this is the Shutzim and Yud Zayin, and this one I'm quoting from Siman Mem Dalid, and the one later on from Siman Mem Beis, I think it is, yes. Which all seem to go in the direction of Isser and minimize the idea of Kenyan. How to jive that with the Kesef Shivoi Avnei Miluim, I'm not totally satisfied, and I'd be interested in hearing what someone has to say. As of now, I will say that it could be that the essential nature of Kedushin is an Isser, is not a Kinyan. Nonetheless, since the method of Kinyan Kesef is learned from Sadeh, when you're doing Kinyan Kesef, you're giving how much this chalos is considered to have a value. Notice he said it's only a pruta. He didn't talk about a real value. We like assign a value to this, and you act as if technically you're paying for the value of something, even though that's not the essential nature of what's going to be created in the end. I admit that's not the smoothest, and I leave you to think about it. But, I have confidence that I'll get an email from Irv in the next few days.
Isn't that the Gemara that says that Kesef, at least Kesef is called Kinyan, and Toso says, okay, Shtar also. The Gemara makes that.
Correct. That somehow the way you do Kesef is not necessarily representative of the essential nature of the Kedushin that comes out of it. That's just the way you do Kesef. Okay, let's leave that for now. I just want to point out, the Avnei Miluim has a bomb kasha against the Pnei Yeshua. He says, it's before Shmur in Kedushin. The Gemara says, on Daf, Samach Zayin Amid Beis, how do we know Kedushin's not Tofsin in all these arayas? And then the Gemara asks in the fifth to last line, just because in the other arayas there's no tefis kedushin, that's because when the guy's alive, they can't become mutter. But Eishes Ish, which is dissolvable by a get, even when the people are here. So we see it's not so chummer. Maybe Kedushin should be Tofes. Elam Rabbi Yonah, be same, or Funa Brady Rabbi Shomer, call Kolashi Gazim, call the way, say Elam, and Nichtu, Hukshu, call Rayos Kulan, Le Achos, Isha Machos, Isha, Tosra Kedushin, call Rayos Kulan, Tosra Kedushin. It's a hectish. Eishes Ish is compared to Achos Isha, just like Achos Isha. All the Rayos are compared to each other. It says, call it, Toy, go say Elam, they're all lumped together in one big hectish, just like my sister all Kedushin, not Tofes. So too, my neighbor's wife, Kedushin not Tofes. Dan Lumos says, it's Mefurish here. The only reason Kedushin not Tofes is because of the Isra Araya Shabadavar. Not that she belongs to someone else. Otherwise, the Gemara should have said, what are you talking about? She belongs to someone else. Why are you bringing in Eishes Ish? So it's a Mefurish Gemara, says the Amnon Luen. This is a Mefurish Gemara. And Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, that the reason Kedushin not Tofes both Eishes Ish is not because someone else has a Kenyan already. It's just because it's a Chomer Isser, which is compared to your sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law is single, my wife's sister. You know, could be single. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It's just a rice. The Chazan Ish has a brilliant defense. This is a very brisker Chazan Ish. Has a brilliant defense in the Pnei Yeshua. I don't know if this means he agrees with Bnei Yeshua around the Avnei Yilum. He just saw this Avnei Yilum. He got up to this Daf Nei Gemara. He said, the Avnei Yilum uses this Avam Kasha. I think it's easy to answer. And this is the end of the Chazan Ish. Nashim, where it just has ha'aros, short ha'aros by the daf. The Chazan Ish says, to defend the Pnei Yoshua, that, let's just make ourselves a little box here, right? Why? So, says the Avnei Miluim, he says, only because of the Isser Kares. Says the Pnei Yoshua, because of the Kenyan Haba'al. It's a Mefurish more like the Avnei Miluim. So, says the Chazan Ish, defend the Pnei Yoshua, he says, no. The Pnei Yoshua also admits that there's an Isser. The Pnei Yoshua really holds, adds the Chazan Ish, here, get the Chazan Ish screen, adds the Chazan Ish. He says two reasons. One, the Kinyan Haba'al. And two, the Isser Kares. There are two reasons Kedushin not Tofes for Eishes Ish. Remember what I said. We're not licentious here. Even if you don't see the Kinyan Haba'al, there's also an objective Isser that's not given to any human being to be Mochel. Right? So there's two reasons Kedushin not Tofes for Eishes Ish. Number one, the Kinyan Haba'al. And number two, the Isser Kares. Now, and therefore, the Gemara Daf Samach Zayin is discussing the second reason. This is just a obvious Svara, and this is a Gemara on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Now, the Chazan Ish hasn't finished justifying the Pnei Yoshua yet. It still doesn't sound like a good answer. If there are two reasons, so why does the Gemara and Samach Zayin need to come onto a Hekish to find the second reason? Why not just rely on the first reason? Right? If there are two reasons, like why does the Gemara need to work so hard and have a happening if there's no reason and find the second reason? If there's a first reason, you shouldn't need the second reason. So he says, no, you have to read the Gemara in Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis in context. Is it really talking about Tfisas Kedushin? What's the Gemara really talking about in Daf Samach Zayin? These are the sugyas of Mamzerus. The Gemara is really saying, whenever there's no Tfisas Kedushin, if they sleep together anyway, the kid's a mamzer. Right? We know that rule. Right? If I sleep with a woman, the isser, but there is Tfisas Kedushin, it's a small isser, and the kid's not a mamzer. If I sleep with a woman who's a big esser, where there's no Tfisas Kedushin, then the kid's a mamzer. The Gemara is really not concerned with Tfisas Kedushin. The Gemara is really trying to darshan Tfisas Kedushin to prove when there's a mamzer. So says the Chazan Ish, very, very brilliantly, he says, there's two reasons there's no Tfisas Kedushin in Eishes Ish. One because of Kinyan, one because of Isser. But which of these two reasons would lead to mamzerus? Does violating someone's Kinyan lead to mamzerus? No, only doing an Isser Arayas leads to mamzerus. If I'm Mamzerus, if I do Beinon Lachadero, it's only Mamzerus because Beinon Lamakum the Isser. So if he says this does not lead to Mamzerus, it's a valid reason, but it doesn't lead to Mamzerus. And the second reason leads to Mamzerus. Says, since the Gemara in Samach Zayin was not really trying to figure out why Kedushin aren't Tofsin, it was really trying to figure out why the kid's a Mamzer. If a man commits adultery with an Eishes Ish, the kid's a Mamzer. Chas v'shalom. Right? Why is the kid a mamzer? Then it makes perfect sense.
Of course, the Gemara knew there's no tefisas kedushin because she belongs to Reuven. That's obvious. But that doesn't make the kid a mamzer. The kid's only a mamzer if there's no tefisas kedushin because of the chomer's ha'aveira. So the Gemara wanted to know. The Gemara wasn't asking how we know I can't be mekadosh your wife. No, that's obvious. She's your wife. How do we know that besides being your wife, it's also a big isser with no tefisas kedushin? It's also a big isser. And as a big isser, that would make the kid a mamzer. That's why Gemara had the darshan, that just like Achos Isha is a big isser, and there's no tefisas kedushin in the kid's a mamzer, so too Achos Isha is a big isser, and there's a second reason there's no tefisas kedushin in the kid's a mamzer. That was the brisker answer of the Chazon Ish. It's a brilliant answer. The Gemara wasn't really wondering why I can't be Mekadosh your wife. That's obvious. The Gemara's just wondering how we know that it's also being on a big Aveira, which would lead to the main thing we're concerned with, which is Mamzerus. Okay.
Doesn't the Avnei hold the same, that there's two parts also? He says Mufurish there.
Where?
In this one, Yotzayim. The Rab, Geish, the Rab, which they can
use. Okay. I think you're reading the...
I'm reading it wrong. All right.
You're reading a line there that's not about what you're claiming it's about, and I'll get to that in a moment.
Which of them?
This Shutzim and Yotzayim. I'll make it very clear very soon. Okay, now let me just bring in one more nafkamina. Not so much a nafkamina as a raya.
Why is Kinyan alone not as
much? Ah, because taking a wife who belongs to you is binan machaveiro. An iser binan machaveiro doesn't cause mamzerus. Only an iser of binan lamakom causes mamzerus. An iser of a raya causes mamzerus. I admit I'll tell you why better. Because we only learn Mamzerus from the other Arayas. And the other Arayas are not about taking someone else's thing, taking someone else's rights, but about violating an Isser Karis. So we see only the Isser Karis is Mamzerus, and we want to know, is it all Isser Karis, or only some Isser Karis more common than others? And we decide it's all Isser Karis because of this Hekish, and we get it in. One last proof, I would say, is, let's see if we can stick it up here, there's one Gemara that seems to be a great proof for the Kinyan Derech. And that is a Gemara that appears in both Ksubas and Kiddushin, but I just brought it from Kiddushin, where the Gemara says more than once. It says, Dvar Torah, we know that the din durabot, the halacha l'maisa is, again, Babun Seinu Rabim, it's not halacha l'maisa nowadays, because we don't have the Tara. But the Heira Yibana Beis HaMikdash, or at least they'll... Yeah, I mean, you need the Beis HaMikdash to take the Paradum in Lakewood. They have Paradum in Lakewood, I think. But we need the Beis HaMikdash in order to burn it properly and it to be kosher ashes. Some Harry Yibana Beis HaMikdash will have Tumah V'Tahara and the Kohanim will start eating Truma. Who's the Kohen here? Okay, so, what's the Halacha L'maisa? In the old days, when they did Irisin and then Nisuin, the Arusa couldn't eat Truma. Only if Nisuin, his wife can eat Truma. Nowadays, you were saying, so the others is still not enough for me. Theoretically.
Married to Ignatius Cohen.
What?
I'm married to Ignatius.
To a Basco.
To a Basco.
Yes, I hope you're not married to Ignatius anyone. That's what we just discussed. Okay, so, but the Gemara says, Ula says, me the Oraisa, even an Arusha can eat Truma. Even though she's not living with me, right? Erusin was like 12 months of preparation. She's not living with me. She's still living with her parents, or Levim, or Yisraelim, or whatever they may be. Midar Reisa, she can eat Truma. It's only Midar Bonnets, and she's living with them, so therefore it's too confusing. Why Midar Reisa can Arusa eat Truma? What's the drasha? Kinyan Kaspo. What does the pasuk say? The Ishki, if the Eved Kinyan Kaspo, who Yochel Bo. Right? Kinyan Kaspo, your monetary acquisition, your monetary property can eat Truma. An Arusa is also Kinyan Kaspo. An Arusa is also Kinyan Kaspo. And therefore, once I did Kiddushin, she's now Kinyan Kaspo. Therefore, she can eat Truma Midoraisa. Doesn't that prove that we call... I mean, this is not just about technically what process did I use. It doesn't matter what process I use. Every Arusa can eat Truma. This is saying an Arusa is fundamentally called my Kinyan. It's reminiscent of the Tosas rushing Suvas, but this is a Gemara. So the proof is... The proof would be Kinyan Kaspo, right? Le'inyan Truma. Again, the pshat of the pasuk, pshuta shall make this from the slaves. If you buy Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo, you spend your money, you buy an Evet, the Eved Kohen Truma, and Eved Kohen gets Truma. However, we interpret it to include also slaves in the Pshat, but also an Arusa, also a wife. Why? Because the wife is Kenyan Kaspo, is your Kenyan. So that shows Ka'avdo Shor V'chamaro, right? Or at least Ka'avdo, right? Like the Tosfos Rashi, isn't that a good proof? So that might be a good proof to the figure she was citing the Chakira, but you could get out of this in two ways. One way of getting out of it is the Tosfos Rashi in Kiddushin. The Tosfos Rashi in Kiddushin brings down, not the Tosfos Rashi himself, but he brings down a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. He himself doesn't agree, which I would hope he wouldn't, because he shouldn't want to get out of this. Tosfos Rashi himself should be happy with this. Ka'avdo Shor V'chamaro. But he brings down from, where did I write this? What was the first one? Where's the Tosfos Rashi in this? Kovetz. Here it is. Daf Yud said?
Yes.
Yud Amud Bet, right. He quotes here from Rabbeinu Tam. The problem is that Ula says to the Kenyan Kaspo, the Gemara in Daf Yud seems to say it's a Kal V'chomer, and then he quotes that the Midrash, the Free says, because it says, Kol Tahar Beveischa Yochal Oso, that because the wife is called Bais, we all know, right? Beiso, so Ishto. So what's the real Makor? So Pirish made him Tam, the Hatha Gemara Ula Kenyan Kaspo smacht to be Alahu. Ula wasn't really a drasha, it was just an asmacht, it was just a hint. The low Iker Drasha, that's not the Iker Drasha. The Iker Drasha is, seems to be from context, the Sefrei, Kol Tahar, Beveischa Yochal Oso. The Iker Drasha, she's my bias, my wife is my bias, my household. Kenyan Kaspo is just an Asmachta. Okay, if it's just an Asmachta, then, now you never know, an Asmachta might still be revelatory, it might not be revelatory, it might just be something to hang your hat on. So, you could get out of it, right, what would you say? Either you would say, like Rabbeinu Tam, it's an asmacht of the Alma. Really? My wife's not Kenyan Kaspo. No, my wife doesn't belong to me. She's my home. My wife is my home. She's my family. That's what a wife is.
That's
what Rabbeinu Tam. That's not what Rabbeinu Tam thinks. That's what Rav Lichtenstein has said a few times. That's not in the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam thinks, Kotar Beveischa, even Arusa is called a bias. Okay, he's lodged in all of Shas, I understand. And it's not Kenyan Kaspo. Or the other option is the Avnei Miluim, right? We would think the Avnei Miluim might have something to say here, because the Avnei Miluim is against Kenyan. He's more of an Isser man. He's against Kenyan. So the Avnei Miluim here has a tremendous Chiddush in this Kenyan Kaspo, and he based himself on a Chiddush of the Ramban. The Ramban has this big Chiddush and says there's two types of Kenyanim. Kenyan Mamon and Kenyan Isser. Kenyan Mamon means you have rights in something. Kenyan Isser means you don't have any rights in something, but you can create or eliminate a certain status. You're in charge of a certain status of Isser V'Heter. What's his raya for this? Where does he get this idea from? Now, this is a machlokas Amoraim, but there's one day in the Amoraim, in Maseches Gittin, that Hamafkir Avdo, if I'm Mafkir my slave, Yotzo L'Cheiros, he's now free. I have no more Kenyan Mammon in him. He doesn't owe me anything. Vitzart get shikr. He doesn't owe me anything ben am lachaveiro. However, since I didn't do a ritual of kesef or shtar, I just did hefker, his status has not changed from Eved to ben chorin. He still has the halachic status of Eved, which has many nafkaminas, for example. He can't get married if he's an Eved. He's mutter in a shifka if he's an Eved. And he's Potter Vizvishes and Grama if he's an Eved, meaning there's a lot of nafkaminas to be an Eved. So here's a funny case. Now, it's a machlok zamoran. There are Moran who say there is no such status. But the Ramban uses this model and says, why is it that if I'm mafker my Eved, I have no rights whatsoever except that I can write him a shtar and change his status? Except that I keep him the status of Eved, the Isser status of Eved, and I'm in charge of writing the shtar to change the Isser status to Ben Chorin. And obviously, Bezdin would tell me to write a shtar because at least that's a simple shaka since he can't work for me anyway, so it's better for him to be Ben Chorin. Now, you could explain this in many ways, perhaps. The way the Ramban explains this, and it's a very intuitive way of explaining this, the Ramban says, this shows that when you have an Eved and an Adom, there are two relationships between them. There's Kenyan Mammon, which we all think of, which is, you know, what, when they used to have slaveries, everyone thought of, in terms of the slave, that I own his guf. Therefore, I clearly have a Kenyan guf. Right? I own him, I can make him work, etc., etc. And then there's Kinyan Isser, that I cause him to have a certain status by being his master and making him my Eved. He now has an Isser status of Eved, which has nafkaminas for mitzvos and nafkaminas for Kedusha, etc., etc. Right? He has a certain lack of Kedusha Yisrael due to that status. He has certain Isserim due to that status. For example, he can't marry a Jewish girl. On the other hand, he can't sleep with a shifcha as much as he wants. Okay, so that's Ramban's Chiddush. This is the Chiddush of the Ramban. Before the Ramban, no one said this. It might have been a reasonable Svara, but no one said it before the Ramban, that there's two things called Kinyan. Kinyan Mammon and Kinyan Isser. Normally, when a guy frees his slave, he's freeing two Kinyanim. He's saying, in the Mammon, you don't have to work anymore, and I can't tell you what to do anymore. And in the Isser, I'm not degrading your status anymore. You have an elevated status of a Yisrael Kosher. That is the Ramban's Chiddush. Why does he say this Chiddush? He says this Chiddush because he wants to, his main concern, which maybe we'll get to, is in Eved Ivri. He wants to make a big Chiddush in Eved Ivri, that Eved Ivri also has two Kinyanim. Mm-hmm. It's a big Chiddush, which I'm not going to get into the sugi now. Number one, the Kinyan Mammon, which is not that I own his guf, that he owes me work. And number two, the Kinyan Isser. What Isser difference does it make if someone's an Eved Ivri? Then he's Mutter B'Shifcha. He can also marry a Jewish girl, but he's also Mutter B'Shifcha. Okay, the Ramban, there are three main explanations we've shown him why an Eved Ivri is allowed to sleep with a Shifcha, which is normally forbidden. One of the explanations is the Ramban, because Kinyan Isser, because he has a different status. He's not only owes me work, he also has a different Isser status that now he's a Chalos Eved Le'im Yisurim, which has one slight nafkamina that he can sleep with a Shifcha while a regular Jew can't. That's Ad Kan Divrei HaRamban. The Ramban had two Chidushim. Number one, he took Eved Kenani and divided it into two different tabs, Kinyan Mammon and Kinyan Isser, which was never said before him, although he had some basis. Number two, which is not our sugya now at all, he went to Eved Ivri and said Eved Ivri also has two elements, which is a bigger Chiddush, because the Kinyan Isser and Eved Ivri is only one thing, which maybe you would have explained in some other way. Maybe you said it's not so Isser in the first place. Maybe you said the original Isser depends on the circumstances. Okay, but that's his pshat. Nafkamina, of course, being not our sugya, that he thinks it's not just that an Eved Ivri can sleep with his master Shifcha in order to have kids and benefit his master financially. He can go around and sleep with any Shifcha he wants in the world, because he just has a lower status. Comes the Avnei Miluim, and he's really originally, the main concern of the Avnei Miluim is to explain all kinds of anomalies in when it comes to Eved Kenani. And I'm not going to chazer those now. His main concern is to explain all kinds of strange anomalies about Kenyan Peres, Kenyan Gufa, Eved Kenani, and he basically says, I can explain all the strange things about Eved Kenani by taking the Ramban and saying there's Kenyan Mammon and Kenyan Isser, and just adding one thing. I mentioned by Eved Kenani the Torah Mitzvah Yishmetz Ban Brahma and the Hafkah from Ishos, which leads to a Heter B'Shifcha. There's another Isser Nafkamina in Eved Kenani. Not of my Eved Kenani, but of Zev's Eved Kenani, that Zev's Eved Kenani can eat Truma. So why is that? Is that because since he works for Zev, the Truma is going to produce work for a Kohen, that's okay? Says the Avnei Miluim, he adds two things. He says, the Truma is not just a Kenyan Mammon. No. Who's making money doesn't justify eating Truma. Truma is very holy. The Truma is because of the Kenyan Isser. Because since he's Eved Kohen, on the one hand, the Kenyan Isser Eved gives him lower Kedusha for many things. On the other hand, an Eved Kohen gives him higher Kedusha. If he were free, he wouldn't be able to eat Truma. Since he's Eved Kohen, he can eat Truma. Okay, eating Truma does not come from the Kenyan Mammon side. Eating Truma comes from the Kenyan Isser side. And Eved Kohen has a Kedusha's Kahuna, not obviously a real Kedusha's Kahuna. He can't duchen, he can't do work with his Amekdash, obviously. He can't even collect Truma. He can eat it. And he can't eat Chazek Shok, etc. But it gives him a certain status of some low-level ancillary Kedusha, Sudbet Kedusha's Kahuna, by which he can eat Truma. So that's the...
That's the Haman.
That is the Avdim Lulu asked this question himself. He says, so why can a behemoth coin eat truma? So maybe you could have said Kinyan Isser on a behemoth. That would be an interesting radical chiddush. He doesn't say that.
There isn't any Kinyan Isser. So
right, he doesn't say that. He says something which ends up being a little dachuk, and you know what? It's not my job to defend that right now because it's a little far afield from Kiddushin. But he ends up saying, you're right. For Eved Kohen, he eats Truma because of the Kenyan Isser. But Behemoth Kohen eats Truma because of the Kenyan Mammon, which then makes it not such a neat package, I admit. Now, he doesn't go into this, if I recall correctly, but I will just throw in on the side that there is some debate whether the whole Indian of Behemoth Kohen eating Truma is D'oraisa or D'rabbanan. If that whole Indian is only D'rabbanan, then it's easier to wave your hand and not make too big of a deal of it. Okay, he does get stuck a little, but he knows that, and he's bigger Talmud Chacham than I am, and let's assume he can take care of himself. Or at least he can take care of himself better than I can take care of himself.
What's his raya for Eved?
His raya for Eved, he doesn't really have a raya, but he gets it to work out for Kenyan Peros, Kenyan Guf. Therefore, even if you have the Kenyan Peros, that takes away my Kenyan Guf and Mammon, but it still goes by me for Truma. Okay, now, what does he say that's relevant to us?
Yeah.
He says, and how do I know my chiddush? Remember, let's review the chiddush. I'll even put them on the board, even though it's going to take up space. The main chiddush of the Ramban is this idea called Kenyan Isser. And what does the Ramban say? The Ramban says, Eved Kenani has Kenyan Mammon, the Kenyan Isser, which is his big chiddush that he invented these phrases. Although, it really, once he invents it, we see the Svara. Then his second chiddush, which is not our issue now, is this is the basic yesod. The additional chiddushim is he also said, Evet Ivri has Kenyan Mammon, the Kenyan Isser, which is a very crucial and fascinating ha'ara about Evet Ivri, just that's not our topic right now. Now comes the Avnei Miluim and makes two chidushin. Says the Avnei Miluim, he says that Achilas Truma depends on Kenyan Isser, not Kenyan Mammo. So, for example, back to Ramban's scheme, let's say Zev had an Eved. He was mach for the Eved, but didn't get around to writing Mishtar yet. Then the Eved would still be allowed to eat Truma, even though he doesn't work for Zev, and Zev has nothing on him, because the Kenyan Isser is still there, he's an Eved Kohen. Okay. Then, says the Al-Milum, how do I know that Truma is a function of Kenyan Isser, not of Kenyan Mammo? He says, well, because an Isha eats Truma, Midvar Torah, Arusas Kohen eats Truma, Basa Shol Shem Sarsil Kohen eats Truma, he's a Kenyan Kaspo. He says, well, by a woman, it obviously doesn't mean a Kenyan Mammon, it obviously means Kenyan Isser. So therefore, that proves that Truma depends on Kenyan Isser. Just like an Isha only has Kenyan Isser, and she eats Truma, that proves that an Eved, Kenani, who has both, eats Truma because of the Kenyan Isser side, and not because of the Kenyan Mammon side. Let me see if I can read that to you in a line. He says, for Raya, Bruin, early stages, and Truma is leading Basha Kenyan Isser Shabo. What's my Raya that Truma depends on Kenyan Isser? He says, they say in many places, Aruso chel for Truma, so they call it the next Kenyan Kaspo, the Kenyan of Erisin eats Truma. Obviously, the Baal doesn't have a Kenyan Mammon on his wife, the Maisio del Baal, you know, told him Darbanan that she has to give him her salary. Right? That can't affect the Daraisa level. I don't mean Darbanan, the husband gets lots of money for the wife. That's only Darbanan, just to make them happy in the old days. And it's even optional nowadays, as the Gemara says. The Elam Rain is also in the old sense. She says, my dish alone. If she wants to opt out, let's say she lives nowadays and she's a lawyer, she says, no, you know what? I don't need the money. I won't give you money. I won't take money. I need to hear myself, right? Meaning, me do rice and even me drabon, even halach lamaisa. If she wants to opt out, she doesn't have to give her husband money without getting into details, right? And Arusa certainly doesn't have to give her husband anything, right? She lives in her father's house. Nonetheless, what does he say? How is she called Kinyan Kaspo if he doesn't have any money on her? right? And came of Urla Hedya to Avgab to call Kenyan Manon Shabbat go for Paris for Atzma, even though all the money is for herself. Kamagim, Kenyan Kenyan answer Shabbat Labal, since he has a Kenyan answer, Meshim Yuchadis Lovi Asur Zakol Olam Yisham Eshtish, because she's only allowed to him and she's not allowed to anyone else. She's an Eshtish for everyone else. He created this answer on her. So what is he saying? His proof is, what's his proof? His proof is, Isha is only Kenyan Isser, and she eats Truma. So that proves that the Pasuk of Kenyan Kasbo doesn't mean Kenyan Mamo, because a woman isn't the Kenyan Mamo. Not like the Tosas Rush, and you know, Kenyan Kasbo got off the shore of Achamoru. No, she's only Kenyan Isser, because she's only allowed to him and not allowed to anyone else in the world. He has this special Isser on her, and he's in charge of this Isser on her, right? He made the Isser, and he can take away the Isser. That proves that Kenyan Kasbo means Kenyan Isser, not Kenyan Mamon. Going back to this, I think this the Amnim Miluim L'shitase. The Amnim Miluim says, it's not really bailus in Kenyan Kedushin. Yeah, the method which you do it is Kenyan-like, but it's really an Isser. It's not really bailus, it's really an Isser. If it's really an Isser, why should you call Kenyan Kasbo? He doesn't want to go through in Tam and say it's an Asmachta. He just says, Kenyan Kasbo means Kenyan Isser. He takes this new phrase in the Ramban of Kenyan Isser, says Kenyan Kasbo means Kenyan Isser. Now I admit, the phrase Kenyan Isser is a funny phrase. What exactly is a Kenyan Isser? Kenyan Isser sounds like an oxymoron. But clearly the Avnei Miluim A is Lishitase. Lishitase, that he thinks it's more of an Isser than a Kenyan, he has to turn Kenyan Kasbo into more of an Isser than a Kenyan. What exactly he means by Kenyan Isser, what he might mean by Kenyan Isser is, what he might mean by Kenyan Isser is, that it's done through a process which is called a Kenyan, but what's created is an Isser. You don't create rights. You only create an Isser. You don't create any ownership. He doesn't own anything in his wife. She doesn't owe him anything. However, he can answer her to the rest of the world and matter her only to himself. And you know, again, it's a subtlety whether we say she doesn't owe him anything but she also the rest of the world, or she owes him the also the rest of the world. But clearly she doesn't owe him anything positive. Okay, so the Avnei Miluim works out very beautifully with the Shitase.
Are we trying to temporarily avoid the possibility of a partial Kinyan Kesef?
Yes! Not temporarily, permanently according to the Avnei Miluim.
No, I mean, but it is a possibility.
So give me a second, yes. Okay, now, let's just examine. Now we have this fundamental Hakira will come up again and again in this parable. Fundamental Hakira about the nature of Kiddushin, do we look at the Lishna Derabanan, Asar Kuliyama Gehetish, and take the Kenyan just the technical detail of the process? Or no? There's also an Isser Lekuli Alma, but the primary point is the Kenyan. Out of the Kenyan, there's also an Isser Lekuli Alma. Now, the one question I want to clarify, here I might even get into some of Korahs that are not politically correct, perhaps. If so, I will ask anyone who is both politically correct and intolerant of diversity of viewpoints to stop listening now. Otherwise, we'll learn Torah. What do we mean by Kenyan? If it is a Kenyan, what's the guy Kona? If it's an Isser, we understand. He's not Kona anything. He just puts an Isser on her. But, now, I understand this Isser is connected to him, right? She's Usher to everyone in the world but him, Kehektish, right? Whereas the Amun says, she's special for him because she's Usher to everyone else in the world. But it's not about him owning something. It's about him putting a Hektish on her, an Isser on her, that makes a special relationship between the two of them because it excludes everyone else, which makes their relationship special. If it's a Kenyan, what is he Kona? One thing is very clear. The Tosos Rush can use whatever flowery phrases he wants. But she's not Ka'avdo Shor Vachamoro, because the Gemara says many times, I put one of them on the here, but the Gemara says many times, the Rishonim say many times, she's not Kenyan Aguf Shalom. He does not Kona her Guf. He doesn't actually own her like Avdo Shor Vachamoro, right?
Can I sell her?
What? He certainly can't sell her. Again, you know, in the Shtetlach in China, a guy can sell his wife. They have a different Torah there. They have a different religion there. But clearly, he can't. He doesn't own his wife. That's Pashat. Okay, so hold that thought. So, what is included in this? You got the board, right? What is included in this Kenyan
And what is not included in this, and what is not included in this kinyan? So, lefi hatsad shel kinyan, which I will admit, you know, if you just took our Mishnah, Hisha, Niknes, you could go with the hatsad shel kinyan. What kind of kinyan is it? So, is it a kinyan haguf? No. That's the Gemara says, it's not a kinyan haguf. It's not like Abdul Shor Bachamoro, and even the Tosas Rush doesn't mean like Abdul Shor Bachamoro, because he's not going to go against the Gemara. He was just exaggerating. So the question is there any mammon aspect? Is there any mammon aspect? Is there a, you know, a partial kinyan mammon? Does he get any money from this? Does he get any financial benefit? So the Netziv assumes, most postim assume, that there is no, as the Avnei Milum said, there's clearly no financial benefit, right? There's clearly no, why is there no financial benefit? Because Maisia Dehalabala is Midrabanan. So you can't say the definition of Kedusha is something Rabbanan added later. And not only is Midrabanan, meaning there are two kinds of Midrabanans. There's a Midrabanan of, this is clearly what should be, and this clearly reveals the nature of what's going on, just the Rabbanan decided to be attacking it. That's not my siyadayim. When they said the husband gets the wife's salary, they didn't mean, because that's an essential part of marriage. Because they gave the wife the choice. She can accept it or she cannot accept it, right? Basically what they said was that if she wants her husband to support her, then it's fair to give him her salary so it'll even out. But it's up to her. She can take it or leave it. So clearly, it's not an essential part of marriage that the husband gets his wife's salary. The wife doesn't have to work for the husband. That's clear. The wife doesn't have to work for the husband. Even if she brings in no capital, she still doesn't have to work for the husband. So it seems like there's no mammon. However, there does seem to be one exception, which is this funny line in the Rashba. This is in the middle of a different conversation in the Rashba. There's one funny line in the Rashba in Ksubas, and I quoted here, who said, she has to stand in front of her husband and serve him, meaning she has to, you know, keep house and do his cook his dinner and do his laundry, and what did they do in the old days? She would bring him his pipe and his slippers when he came home from work, right? She has to do those things. Why? The Kenyan Kasvo, he very Geshifcha the White Lishimushe. She is Kenyan Kasvo and she is the servant like a Shifcha. Okay, this Rashba is very radical. Why is this Rashba radical? And I'm in the Rashba radical because of what we would have thought. The Rashba is radical because the Gemara says her working for him is only Midrabanan. And yet the Rashba says, Kinyan Kaspo, very Geshifcha Dubai Lishimushe. And in the context of the Rashba, it seems, I didn't give the context very complex, but it seems to be saying that it's Doraisa, and it's Kinyan Kaspo. So there is the Shitas Yachid of the Rashba, right? There is this Shitas Yachid of the Rashba, who says, Kinyan Kaspo equals Chayeves Lishamsho. Lashamsho, again, I don't mean Tashma Shamita. I mean, Lashamas. Right? Chayeves Lashamsho. She has to. Now, isn't that against the Gemara Maisei Odeha Midrabanan?
She can't go to work.
So that's based on the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is really just based on Iran there. But when I quoted here, the Pnei Yoshua points out that there might be a difference between Maisei Odeha and Meleches Habayis. There's a difference between going to work and keeping house. Going to work is only Midrabanan. Or she doesn't actually have to go to work, she can bring work in, right? That's only Midrabanan, that if she has a job, the salary goes to her husband. Or if she doesn't have a job, she has to take some sewing work in the house, and or in those days, spinning work, and make money. However, keeping house, that's Midoraisa. Keeping house is Midoraisa, after all. Again, here I'm going to date myself somewhat, but that's okay. I think most of the people in the room are at least as dated as I am. Maybe even a year or two more. When I was a kid, right? If you got married, the wife kept the house. That was part of the job. That was the idea of getting married. Beso Zoishko, she took care of the house. So it says Lechora, this is based on the Pnei Yeshua's distinction. The Rashba doesn't say very much. But it's obviously based on this chiluk that Pnei Yeshua brings up, that the you have to say it's Alpi chiluk HaPnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is based on the Ran, but the Ran doesn't explicitly say where it comes from, which is that Maisa Yadeha Shelo Midrabanan, and it's optional. She can decide. If she's a high-powered lawyer, then she won't give him her salary. But Meleches HaBayis, that's Midoraisa. That's not an absolutely commanded leader. That's Midoraisa. Midoraisa, the wife, is the Akeres HaBayis, and she's responsible for the house. She doesn't have to work, but she has to take care of the house. And that's what the Rashba meant. He doesn't mean that she has to go and work in the farm and etc. No, the Mekam Kamei. I mean, the personal things that she does for him. That she, if he wants a cup of tea, she should bring him a cup of tea. If he's cold, she should bring him a blanket. If whatever it is that he needs, She should take care of him in a personal family setting. That's what make him come. Again, he doesn't mean like really an Eveder Shifcha that you send to work and you give him assignments on the farm or assignments in the factory. No, he means like a personal assistant. Right? She should be Yitzhar Kenegdo, his personal assistant. That's Midoraisa. That seems to be... Now, this is a really Shita's Yochid of the Rashba. This is really not representative. All the Rishonim and all the Achronim assume, no, when Maisa Yadeh is Midrabanan, that means any financial, valuable work she does is Midrabanan. All the other Mefarshim assume that there is no work obligation inherent in Kiddushin or Nisuin. Obviously, she does the work only starts at Nisuin. But if you assume Nisuin is built into Kiddushin, it's just, you know, the inside of the fruit. So this is a Shita's Yachid, the mainstream Shita.
It's really the same as the Tosfos HaRosh. It's really not then. It's really any different. Why are you pushing these?
Okay, fair enough.
No, why are you pushing it so hard?
The reason I'm pushing it is because all the Rishonim, all the Achronim, all say, obviously she doesn't owe many work because Maisa Yadeh is Midrabanan. Like you, so I read to you in the Amnon Milorim, like the Nitziv says, that it's not okay. The mainstream Shita, the majority Shita, is that there is no work, there is no work required min haTorah. And even Midrabanan, it's optional. Except for the three things of Chiba, she has to do Chiba for him. Fine, so it's not optional. She still has to, you know, do the three malachas of Chiba, Mezikas HaKosin. Okay, that's very nice. Okay, so she shouldn't be a cruel witch. Fine. But and that's not really work. You know, that's just token, literally tokens of affection. Okay, so then what are we left with a Kenyan? If there is a Kenyan, what's the Kenyan for? After all, it's not a Kenyan of Guf. And according to the majority opinion, it's not a Kenyan mom. She doesn't have to do anything for him. She doesn't owe him anything in terms of, she doesn't have to clean, she doesn't have to cook. You want dinner, cook your own dinner. Right? You want clean clothes, do your own laundry. Hey, I'm not recommending this mitzad shalom bias. I'm just saying in terms of the din d'oraisa. Din d'oraisa, they're separate financial constructs. They're each on their own. Separate bank accounts, separate apartment. Oh, maybe not. But certainly, no one has to do more share of the chores than anyone else. So what's the kinyan? So what's the kinyan midoraisa? So what is the kinyan? So l'chore, the answer is going to be, what's this kinyan midoraisa? So l'chore, the answer is going to be, it's not about a kinyan of work or money or anything like that. It's a kinyan for Ishas. It's a kinyan for the relationship. The kinyan is for the relationship. What is for the relationship? The answer is for Ishas. What does Ishas mean? Meaning, and here we have a number of formulations, the Nitziv has a very strong opinion about this and that Tshuva. The Nitziv has a very strong opinion, perhaps worded exceedingly strongly. The Nitziv says, what's the Kenyan for? For Ishus. What does Ishus mean? Ishus means to sleep together, right? For marital intimacy. That's the Kenyan for. Ki yikach ish isha uvala. I'm not talking about the way we darsh the different. Shuvah shamikra. He takes a wife. Why does he take a wife? He takes a wife and then they live together.
That's not a Kenyan normal. That's more of a Kenyan Yitzhak.
It depends on my mama, but it's not that. It's that he has the right to sleep with her. He is, what is he, Kona? He's Kona that now she has to sleep with him. So again,
I might not call it a kinyan mamo, but it's a kinyan. It's not an iser. Nothing to do with iser. He's not saying anything about iser. He's not kona that she be usher to other people. He's kona that she has to sleep with him, and therefore the tzif says, meaning she can't decide not to. Right? She has to sleep with him. Again, I'm not talking here of Pirtei Pratim. You know, there's obviously this whole Gemara Ksubas and what are reasonable expectations. But Ikaron, if she says, you know what? You're a nice guy. I like raising kids together, but I'm not interested in intimacy anymore. Then he can take her to Bezdin and sue her. Right? As it says in Ksubas, right? There's, it says in Ksubas all the, how much money they can ask her for it. Now, as the Nitziv points out, of course, he has to sleep with her also. But the Nitziv asks an interesting question. Well, how do we know the husband has to sleep with his wife? What? The Pasuk says, lo yigra. It's a chi of Dorexi to sleep with his wife. The Pasuk says. Okay, how do we know the wife has to sleep with her husband, though? It never says in the Pasuk the wife has to sleep with her husband. So the Nitziv says this. He says, we know there's hadadiyot. We know they each have a shiva to each other, right? The Gemara says in Ksubas, if the husband says, I'm not interested in intimacy anymore, we fine him. If the wife says she's not interested in intimacy anymore, we fine her. They're both obligated to sleep with each other. That's part of, if you didn't want that, you shouldn't have gotten married, right? That's part of the deal. How do we know the husband's chayiv? It says in the Pasuk. How do we know the wife's chayiv? It doesn't say in the Pasuk. How do we know the wife's chayiv? So, I know what other people say. Then it says, how do we know the wife's chayiv? Because it says Kenya. It says, Ki yigach hashishu v'ala. It says, Lashon Kenya. That's when he was kone. He was kone, the right to sleep with her. And then the Torah imposed upon him, she wasn't kone the right to sleep with him. He owns the right to sleep with her, and the Torah imposed the right for her to sleep with him. But it ends up symmetrical. But, says the Nitziv, it's not, it ends up symmetrical, but I'll be lundus, it's not the same. He is chayav to be intimate with her because of a mitzvah in the Torah, which creates a shibud. She is chayav to be intimate with him because he was koneh that right. And this is brilliant. I heard this. Chetzky told me this, that I think he heard this from Shulman. The Ksav Sofer in Evan Ezerson Mem Dalid makes this diuk in the Rambam. Makes this brilliant. Did I put the Ksav Sofer on this?
Oh, make that thing.
Okay, great. Makes a diuk in the Rambam. The Nitziv doesn't make the diuk in the Rambam. Ksav Sofer Evan Ezer Simon Mem Dalet, if I'm not mistaken, makes a brilliant diuk in the Rambam. Says the Rambam, what happens if they each take a neder to withhold intimacy from each other? Right? Again, you know, this is not in Shalom Bayis class. We shouldn't even get to this point. But it's very interesting in Lumdus, right? It's a good thing that people used to do stupid things like this, because then we can understand a lot of Lumdus. What if they each made a neder to withhold intimacy from each other? Look at the Rambam's language. If a woman says to her husband, it's null and void. It's like answering your property on you. She can't refuse intimacy, because it's his property. Why can't he refuse intimacy? Because he owns her, sheriks us an owner, like it says in Hilchos Ishos. Now, you never know how much we can dayak, but the Lashon, the Ksav Sofer makes this diuk, says the Ksav Sofer, she can't forbid herself to him because it's his rights. He can't forbid himself to her because he owes it to her, like it says in the Torah. Right? So, he sees, in the end, they're both equal. Practically, they're both equal. Practically, they both owe each other. But I'll be lumdus, the Rambam uses a different lashon. When it comes to his rights, he called it a bailus, bala peros. When it comes to her rights, he called it a shibud, an obligation. And the Ksav Sofer says, this is, the Ksav Sofer didn't read the Nitziv. The Nitziv didn't read the Ksav Sofer. But then he says, this is a right of the Nitziv. He owns the right to intimacy with her, to an intimate relationship with her. She doesn't own the right to a relationship with him, but rather the Torah imposed an obligation on him, and that solves the problem. The problem is, who says she has to sleep with him? Doesn't say so in the Torah. The answer is, doesn't have to say so in the Torah. Just ki yikach hashisha. After all, what did he acquire, if not the right to live together intimately. Everything has to be darbonan, whether she cooks or cleans. Okay, that's darbonan, you work it out. And what about the Torah? The days of the Torah, they worked it out. I'll be minigamako. Right? I mean, I have a suspicion what the minigamako was. So what is the kinyan for? So one. Let's just make three formulations. It could be for the right to intimacy. This is the Nitziv, and this is the Rambam, the Diyuk Rambam, Al Pi, the Ksav Sofer, and I think it's a strong Diyuk in the Rambam. The Ksav Sofer makes this Diyuk in the Rambam. You could say, if you wanted, again, this even does sound a little politically incorrect to us, but that doesn't make it not true. If you want to, you could go a little, you could perhaps be a little less ambitious than that, or you could say, there's a Tosos in Kedushin, Aflamin of Beis, who asked the following question, who asked the Gemara Darshins, Ishimo Vivitirao, a man can always take care of his parents, right? Some of us maybe have parents, or had parents who are a little older, or will have parents who are a little older. Sometimes maybe you're helping take care of them. The man can go take care of his parents. The woman can't, because she has to work for her husband. Stos asks, but Midoraisa, she doesn't have to work for her husband. That's only the Rasmus says she has to work for her husband. Everyone else says Midoraisa, she can ignore her husband. Midoraisa, she doesn't have to lift a finger for her husband. So how come in the Torah, Drasha Midoraisa, why can't she go take care of her parents all day long? So Tosis answers, she doesn't have to lift a finger for her husband, but she has to live with him in his house. He doesn't live with him as euphemism for sleeping together, which is also euphemism. He means like literally to live in the house. And therefore, if her husband lives in Pinsk and her parents live in Minsk, she can't go serve her husband, because that means moving out of her parents' house and getting her own apartment. And there's one obligation of a married woman, is that she not get her own apartment, that she share a house with her husband. What she doesn't ask their husband is their business, but she has to live in his house. Now, Rav Moshe doesn't say anything about Kenya. The Tosfos doesn't say anything about Kenya. Rav Moshe says this is a shibud. There's a great shibud Rav Moshe finds thing. You know, most people in the world assume that the wife takes her husband's men hug him. Why? Why doesn't the husband take the wife's men hug him? You could give other explanations. It could have to do with Talmud Torah, etc. But Rav Moshe says, because minig is minig amakom. She has to live in his house. He doesn't have to live in her house. Therefore, she moved to his makom. She has to take his minig amakom. That's a very, very clever Igros Moshe. But he makes a big deal of this Tosfos. You could say, al pi Tosfos on daf lamed. You could say it's just the right for her to live with him. Again, live with him in the literal sense of the word, not the euphemistic sense of the word. Or, and with this I'll end, and here someone will say, at a certain point, Kinyan Isser, and Kinyan can become very close. I think here's where it can. Go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Isha Niknes. What does it mean, Isha Niknes? Rash says Labala to her husband, but doesn't say what that means. The Ran says, what does it mean, Isha Niknes Labala? Says the Ran. What does it mean, nicknames? What's the kinyan? Says the first Ran, La tzrichim menu get. The kinyan is that she needs a get. What does that mean? That she can't marry anyone else for that. She doesn't need a get. She only needs a get if she wants to marry someone else. She doesn't want to marry anyone else. And the Meir is the same thing. What does it mean? That she won't marry anyone else, and she won't be available to anyone else unless she gets a get from him. Meaning it could be that the Kenyan, most minimalistic Kenyan, maybe not the Nitziv. No. He's not Kona her body to sleep with her. That's the relationship between the two of them. Well, how they try to work that out. Or you could say, Al-Pi, the Ran, and the Meiri, in the beginning of our Masecha, and the beginning of our Masecha, it just means the right for her not to be with anyone else, which again brings us very close to the idea of kinyan iser, right? But so you could take this kinyan. If you say there is a kinyan, how serious of a kinyan is? What does he really own? He doesn't own her. Even though the Tosfos Rosh says it, it's a flowery expression. It's against the Gemara. Can't go against the Gemara. Maybe he owns, included in the ishus and the right to some work. That's a shitas yachid of the Rashba, and Zev to the Tosfos Rosh agrees, perhaps. Or most Achronim, most Rishonim would say, no, he owns the right to the marital relationship. He owns the right to the relationship. What's included in that relationship? The Nitziv, the Ksav Sofer say, intimacy. Rav Moshe quotes from Tosos, not necessarily as a steerer, just as another, just sharing a household, building a family. What does a family mean? A family means you live together. together, right? And the Ran and the Meiri make it sound like, no, it's just that he just owns the right to exclusivity that you won't be with anyone else. Which again, then brings us very close to the Avnei Miluim, and you know, puts us really on the borderline, the tightrope in between these two formulations. Okay, we have a little more to say, but I'm already a lot over the time. So we'll have to pick up Amir Tzashem. Next time I'll add one or two ha'aros about this. Really only one or two ha'aros. Go on to the topic of Midaita in the Gemara and get started on, you know, it's always a question. The big philosophical question. Moral, ethical dilemma, you learn this after Kedushin, is skip straight to Daf Gimel and Aleph to Chalipin and stick with Kinyanim and Mamonos and Kinyakesef and Ishus, or get into Zrayim because Esra Mishavel Elon to give a Drachim. I do have a reputation as someone who has a soft spot for, you know, I have a soft spot for Kachim, I also have a soft spot for Paris and Zrayim. So we will discuss a little the idea of Midaita. And then get into just a little bit of touch on some basic points about Esrog Shavu'ilan B'Shalosh Drachim.